What do your sleeping dreams have to do with your research career? My conviction is that the dreams we have at night offer rich insights for all aspects of our lives, including your research. So I'll explain a little about why I believe this and then dive into practical tips on how to remember and then record and interpret your dreams because they are there to guide you. You are listening to Hearts and Sciences, the podcast devoted to your success as a researcher and your happiness as a human being. I'm your host, Elizabeth Andrews. Thank you for tuning in. First, a quick announcement. I'm going to be leading Boundaries Bootcamp with my friend Aaron Starkey Shamia on December 1st. So this is our holiday-themed Boundaries Bootcamp to help you have the holiday you want to have on your terms, not feel guilty about it, and really take care of yourself. I will put the registration link in the show notes. So I'm going to start out this podcast by sharing two famous dreams with you that led to breakthroughs in our scientific understanding. Both of these are from the field of chemistry. So the first dream was of, and I quote, long rows, sometimes more closely fitted together, all twining and twisting in snake-like motion. But look, what was that? One of the snakes had seized hold of its own tail, and the form whirled mockingly before my eyes. That was the German chemist Auguste Kekulé in 1865. So the dream revealed to him the circular structure of the benzene molecule, which was the breakthrough in organic chemistry. Just a few years later, in 1869, the Russian chemist Dmitri Mendeleev was struggling to find a way to organize the known chemical elements. Finally, one night, he recalled, I saw in a dream a table where all the elements fell into place as required. Yep, he actually dreamed the periodic table. So these are examples of how sometimes a specific research-related puzzle can be solved in your dreams. I love these as examples of how essential dreams have been to the progress of knowledge, but of course, dreams aren't always that direct. They often communicate through symbols and coded meanings and require some deciphering. So what do we know from a neuroscience perspective about why we dream? The short answer is not much. There are a number of different theories. We have evidence that it plays a role in memory consolidation and learning. We know that we can solve certain problems better after literally sleeping on it, but only if you experience the dreaming portion of your sleep, the rapid eye movement or REM stage. When subjects are kept from dreaming, they don't have the improved performance effect. So something good is happening in our brains when we dream. But as far as the content of dreams and their meaning, neuroscience is scarce. You'll find what's called the activation synthesis hypothesis, which proposes that you have random neural activity while you sleep, and dreams are the brain trying to make sense of that random activity. But here's the thing, you guys. First off, our highly evolved brains devote hours every night to dreaming. Logically, it seems far-fetched that we would engage 4 hours every single night in something random. And this theory would suggest meaningless. But even if we took that hypothesis to be correct and we say the neural activity is random, then the sense-making would still be revealing, right? If the underlying activity is random, then dreams are a neural Rorschach test, where the dream that you produce from that activity reveals something about your internal mental state. So I don't think we can escape the conclusion that dreams offer some kind of insight. And you've probably had at least a few dreams in your life that really stuck with you or clarified something. I know I have. So let's take a look at the field of psychology and how it deciphers dreams. I'll highlight two particularly influential theories coming from Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung. To oversimplify, Freud viewed dreams as an expression of an individual's repressed feelings and desires, often connected to past memories, whereas Jung viewed dreams as coming from a shared symbolic language, shared in the sense that it's not only personal to the individual, but also collective, shared across the species. So Jung saw dreams as offering guidance for the future. And then finally, let's not overlook the spiritual and religious dimension of dreaming. You'll find dreams in many religious texts, often prophetic dreams, sometimes divine communication, sometimes messages from ancestors. And one New Age philosophy that I found useful comes from Edgar Cayce, who overlapped with Freud and Jung in the first half of the 20th century. He was a
self-proclaimed psychic. I'm not suggesting he actually had psychic powers, but I think he did have a cool approach to understanding dreams, which was to ask yourself, if this had really happened, what would I have learned? So Freud's approach was to derive insights about repressed feelings and the past. Jung's approach was to derive guidance for the future based on your current situation and your understanding of it. And Casey's was to find practical solutions to daily problems. So here comes your strategy. Again, starting with Casey, if this had actually happened to me in waking life, what would I take away from it? Whatever happened in the dream, if this had happened, what would that tell me about what's going on in my life right now? Second approach, inspired by Freud, you can ask, does this remind me of anything that has happened in my past? You can even use his reversal approach and ask, what would be the opposite of what happened in this dream? And does that remind me of something meaningful that happened to me? And finally, you can take Jung's approach and think of each actor in the dream, each character in the dream, as representing some aspect of yourself. And if I am every character in this dream, what would that reveal? So I'm going to take an example. Let's say you dream that you left your baby behind somewhere. So I've had this dream a few times. And for all these approaches, we're going to hold the idea of the literal baby loosely. We're more interested in what a baby represents. So taking that first approach from Casey, you might say, if this really happened, I left my baby behind, I would learn that I'm letting something incredibly important out of my sight, out of my attention. So not necessarily the literal interpretation that I'm a negligent parent, but that there's some critical responsibility that I'm not keeping hold of. Next, we can take Freud's reversal approach. So flip it around and look at my baby left me behind. Maybe there's some sense of abandonment or neglect in your own past experience that needs healing. And then taking on Jung's understanding, you can look at both roles. The ways in which you are the parent who wanders off and the baby who's left behind. And in this Jungian view, you want to look for where in your life right now you can see these dynamics. Right now, where am I feeling abandoned? And right now, where am I losing focus on a core responsibility? Those are three framings you can use. And just for fun, let's revisit Kekulé's benzene dream and apply these techniques. First off, what he described wasn't just any circle, right? It was specifically the Ouroboros, the snake eating its tail, which is a symbol seen in a number of cultures and mythologies, including ancient Egyptian and Norse texts. It relates to the cyclical nature of life and the concept of wholeness and completion. If we take the straightforward interpretation from Casey, if this had happened, what would I have learned? The Ouroboros could signify not only that the molecule has a circular shape, but also its stable resonance structure, where the electrons are shared all around the ring. And then if we flip the dream, like Freud, and unhook the snake from its tail, we get the hydrocarbon chains, which interestingly, Kekulé himself proposed in the years leading up to his benzene revelation. So that interpretation ties the dream to his past, describing molecules like ethanol and methane, and highlighting the distinctiveness of the benzene molecule. And then finally, let's go with Jung. If Kekulé were to see himself in the symbol of the Ouroboros, he might consider the need to reflect back on his own thinking and ways of knowing. Maybe because he was an architect before he was a chemist, he could return to the beginning and use his structural and spatial knowledge to better understand molecules. So my take synthesizing these approaches is that dreams are rich sources of insight and that they essentially let us spy on ourselves. So whatever is occupying our minds, whether those are research questions or personal situations, I believe our dreams can assist us with sense-making. They offer a window into the subconscious mind. We can see where connections and ideas are forming that we haven't even consciously recognized. So dreams can help you imagine new or unconventional solutions to research problems. You could also gain clarity on your own feelings about professional relationships, projects, planning. I believe dreams can help you process and manage stress and maybe just give you some fresher, interesting ideas. So if this all sounds interesting and worth maybe experimenting a little bit, with your own dreams, I want to leave you with some tips and tools. First of all, to remember your dreams. We all do have them, but not everyone remembers them because in order to do so, it has to be first thing you think about when you wake up, the very first thing on your mind. So do not reach for your phone, reach for your journal. What I suggest is that when you go to bed, you leave a journal or a notepad and a pen right there on your nightstand and set the intention as you're going to sleep to remember your dreams as soon as you wake up. It's a good idea to actually write yourself a note that says something like, I look forward to remembering my dreams. Just write that in the journal, write that on a sticky note and stick it on top of your journal. I'll link in the show notes to some detailed advice from a group of Jungian analysts on how to remember your dreams. The whole key is just to get in the habit of making your dreams your first thought when you wake up in the morning and writing them down. If you don't write them down, they will evaporate. And then finally, I built you a bot. So I made a custom GPT. It's called the Dream Consultant, and it will give you professional advice based on your dreams. So you'll find that link in the show notes. It's really good. I use it just about every day. It's been really helpful. So I'd love to hear how this goes for you. And if you found this intriguing, maybe consider joining the January Journaling Challenge. I'll be sharing more information about that in upcoming episodes. Thank you for joining me on the Hearts and Sciences podcast, and sweet dreams.
Close your eyes, now drift to sleep. Whispered secrets, molecules keep. Ring of atoms, lullaby sweet. In dreams where chemicals meet. In circles hold you tight, hexagon in the quiet night, eternal bonds that dance so right, sleep now till morning light, dancing dreams will sway. Sway in the silent night we